As John mentioned earlier, you can't escape Sarah Palin this week. That's because
no way.
Her autobiography is hitting shelves today. It's called Going Rogue, An American Life. And there was a lot of chatter yesterday about her appearance on Oprah.
Does that mean you're reloading for 2012?
I'm concentrating on 2010 and making sure that we have issues tackled as Americans to make sure that we're
Would
on the right road.
Would you even you were thinking about it?
No, I wouldn't. Not on its own.
She's not going to tell anybody if she's running again, but her book seems like it's setting up Sarah Palin for another run. One of the things she does in there, she constantly makes mention of Ronald Reagan, in some cases comparing herself to Ronald Reagan. And she also, during her book tour, is visiting all the battleground states. So to talk about this, we invited a couple guests with firsthand insight, Republican political consultant Mary Madeline and Christy Todd Whitman, former governor of New Jersey and head of the EPA under George Bush. They join us now. So Mary, let's start with you. As I said, she's visiting all the major battleground states during her book tour. Does this appear to you as a clear sign that she's going to be running again?
Not necessarily. I'm going to take off my political hat, put on my publishing hat. I work for Simon & Schuster, run the Threshold line, and it would be disingenuous for any publisher to not send her to places where she can sell the most number of books. But as the governor will tell you, you can't run till you're ready to run, and she's not. I don't see this as necessarily a precursor to a run.
Do you not think she's ready to run quite yet?
I don't. Please, let's not take that out of context. You're not, I mean, ready to run in the sense that you can't have a strategy until it's clear what kind of environment you're working in and running in. And right. I am presuming from my 30 years of working in politics that the 2012 environment is going to look considerably different after the midterms of 2010.
So Christy, there is actually a lot of discussion about the role of women in the GOP right now. There's only about less than 10% of House Republicans are women, and 10% of the Republican senators are women. Why are there so few females in the GOP right now compared to Democrats?
Well, frankly, I don't think either party has done the job they could or should do with women. But when I look at it, I look down the ballot a little bit, and the numbers get even more sort of dislocated at the state legislature level and the lower level, the mayoral level. And that's where we need to really put our focus and be encouraging of women. But I've always found that women hold each other to a higher standard than they do their male counterparts. And that's been part of the challenge that women, particularly in the Republican Party, I think have had, that women don't support them in the way that we might support a man coming to us with the same kind of background, the same kind of credentials, and the same position on issues. And why that would be more prevalent in the Republican Party than in the Democrat Party, I don't know. But I don't think either party has come anywhere near to doing what they should be doing to encourage women to run.
Well, there seems to be, there is an identity crisis going on in the Republican Party right now, kind of characterized by the recent race in northern New York. Here's Didi Scazzafava. She spoke on the Rachel Maddow show last week.
Any party that just tries to purge members that might have any sort of independent thinking, I think eventually will run itself into very much of a minority status.
Mary, some people have said that this identity crisis is partly over women, because women in the Republican Party often, statistically at least, tend to be more centrist than their male counterparts. And there appears to be a split in the Republican Party between the more moderate members of the party and those who are further to the right.
This is an old argument that got started over the abortion issue, which was much bigger than the actual act of abortion for women. But the legacy of that argument, and what's a moderate and what's a conservative and all that, that's not how women think. Women are practical. And if you want to label them, I'd say they're more purple and practical than anything else. And this sort of purging and all of that business is just a all template right. that the press loves.
Okay, well, then Mary, let's just ask it directly. Does Sarah Palin have a constituency within the GOP leadership, the people who are going to determine how the campaign goes after 2010, or is she auditioning at this point?
The GOP leadership does not determine who the GOP candidates are. That was the problem in New York 23. A bunch of men behind closed doors picked a candidate. The why I joined the Republican Party is because I'm a conservative. I'm a conservative before I'm a Republican, and conservatives are tend to be grassroots people. They listen to candidates, they connect, They like retail politics.
Right, I understand, Mary, but
the notion that there's some bosses that are going to pick the candidates is wrong.
But the men picked Sarah Palin. All I'm saying is she a tried and true political asset, or is she someone who's just out in the fringe?
The only way to know that is to look at the polls, and the polls are split on her. Is she polarizing? Yes. Is Barack Obama polarizing? Yes. He's the most polarizing president in history, and the fastest falling approval ratings in history. No one talks about him being out on the fringe, but he's as polarizing as she is. So she, which means people love her, which the press tends not to focus on. Equal numbers of people love her more than they love other would-be candidates, and with the same intensity that people don't like her.
Well, Christy, let me ask you, because I have a dear friend who's a longtime Republican, who, when Sarah Palin was nominated and all the to-do over Sarah Palin and in her interview with Katie Couric and all those other things, my friend was really insulted that Sarah Palin was the choice because she felt there were so many other talented and brilliant Republican women who could have been chosen. And I have to ask you, you know, with so many people saying perhaps Sarah Palin is the future of women in the GOP, I'm wondering what your reaction is to that.
Well, there's certainly a portion of the GOP that's very attracted to her. There's no question about that. She did what she was supposed to do, I guess, but what they wanted her to do in the McCain campaign, which was energize the base. So the irony is they did get the base out, and we still got our heads handed to us. So that should be a lesson there. Now, I agree with what Mary said earlier about the women, and certainly in the Republican Party, being practical and pragmatic. And we're getting marginalized because there are certain social issues that are being used now as a litmus test to determine your suitability for office. And that just isn't the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be solving problems, the problems that the people in general care about. And most people don't sit down over their dining room table and worry about abortion rights or gay marriage. They worry about, can they pay the rent? What are they going to do about medication? What are they going to do with their children's education? And that's where we need our focus. Obviously, Sarah Palin is someone that appeals to a certain faction within the party, but I don't think it's the faction that you can use to build upon to have a successful nationwide coalition and become a really vibrant party again.
We're going to have to end it there, Christy, but thank you so much. That's Christy Todd Whitman, former governor of New Jersey and former head of the EPA under George W. Bush. Also, Mary Madeline, longtime Republican political strategist. Thanks to both of you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.